He is the cup that transformation comes in. We are after a presence that changes everything. We want to make this city and this region famous for the presence of the Lord. We want to see worship that redefines
how people think of the Bible Belt.
If we want to reach this region in our area, you know, in this world, whatever, we as a church have got to come together. And it's not just one church that's going to do it. It's going to take us all.
We have a calling that we will change the atmosphere, that we will come against things.
He wants his kingdom to be overlaid in such a powerful way that crime drops, that sickness goes away, and even economically, this whole area can explode in the favor and the presence of God. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, what am I doing to attract the kingdom of heaven? What am I doing that positions me to have something flow through me that transforms the earth around me?
It's to create a path, a clear path for God to come in today, to break through all of that stuff that's been on you all week, to break through all that depression, to break through all that sickness.
What he did on the cross was he provided everything that we need to transform this world. You know, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Let me tell you what, it's not finished for us.
It's just starting.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast.
We are proud to announce the Next Gen Worship Culture Changers Conference 2015. The conference will be held on September 10th, 11th, and 12th at Faith Assembly in Joplin, Missouri. Special conference guests include Integrity music artist Worship Mob. Integrity music artist, songwriter, and worship leader, Dustin Smith and band. One Worship Gathering, San Diego, Henry Haney, Mark and Debbie Hendrickson from Dwelling Place Ministries in Kansas City, Missouri, and many others. Also joining us will be regional worship leaders Joshua Bussey, Kendra Doris, Carrie Dennison Jones, Rob and Catherine Harriman, and Josh Coate. God is looking for the next generation of culture changers. For more details, including how to register, go to nextgenworship.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. My name is Clint and I am your host.
And I'm Haley, the unrecognized and ill-acknowledged co-host.
Okay, I am the co-host and you are a co-host.
Yes, but that's not how you said it. You said you were the host, which makes me the special guest or otherwise an important person in the room.
Well, when I started these podcasts a year and a half ago, it was just me.
That is true.
I was the host.
You were, and I didn't really want to host or co-host or have anything to do with it, really. Just being honest for honesty's sake.
Well, now that I mentioned how long we've been doing this, a little over a year and a half, we have got about 30 episodes, and I haven't checked, but we're rapidly approaching 6,000 plays.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not a small thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's huge in like the podcast, blogosphere, vlogger, I don't know, whatever, cyberspace world, but it's pretty cool for us.
Yeah, it is really cool, and people from all over the United States are tuning in, you know, obviously not the masses, but, you know, people are starting to
like five.
Yeah, one here and one there. My mom.
Yeah. I don't know if my mom listens.
I don't think she does.
Hey, Mom, you should listen. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll find out after this, that's for sure.
Yeah. Got some new events in the 2015 Culture Changers Conference. We added a workshop. Nico Perez is going to teach a Worship Keys workshop. He's going to instruct people on some ways to use Main Stage and using software and worship and sound design and just general Worship Keys playing.
Wow. I have no idea what any of that means.
Are you a keys player?
No. I can play Mary Had a Little Lamb.
You may want to go to that workshop.
I don't know. I think it might be a little over my head.
Well, Nico travels with Desperation Band and is a member of Worship Mob. That's going to be a pretty popular workshop, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, hey, what's new?
I tried making cream puffs today.
Yeah? How'd that go?
Well, the puffs turned out awesome. The cream, it's going to have a do-over. It's more like runny pudding.
Yeah.
So then when you take a bite of cream puff, it explodes out the sides and it gets all over your face, your hands, your shirt, and the floor.
Yeah.
And but it's tasty.
Yeah, sounds like great fun, actually.
Yeah, the kids thought it was pretty cool.
Hey, we were actually talking to a podcast listener this week.
Yes.
And had some interesting discussion about... You know, they were just bouncing stuff off of us and you back and forth. Actually, it was a text, right?
Yeah.
So in these days, vernacular, texting and everything like that is still a conversation.
Yeah, it's considered a conversation.
But why don't you share a little bit about that? Let's just talk about that real quick.
Well, we were just talking about the idea of building an ark. And I've heard a lot about the need in today's culture to have an ark for your family or your church, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, I guess.
And by ark, you're kind of referencing...
Like Noah and the ark. Yeah. I assume not the Ark of the Covenant or like the ark in Indiana Jones, which is the same thing, right? But no, not talking about
that.
That was a great movie. Snakes. Anyway, so we were talking about that, texting. And, you know, we kind of came to the conclusion that an ark should be something that you build in your own family and community of people that you do life with, that you love, you know, which in my brain equals that you create a culture of safety and freedom to explore what God wants you to do, freedom to maybe make mistakes and not, you know, feel like a big jerk. I mean, other than you need to repent, I guess, if you're sinning. But you know what I mean? Like freedom, you know, just a culture of freedom. And but then we were talking about that the bulk of what has happened is that people create like an ark and they hide in it while they wait for the world to be destroyed. And that really got me thinking, because I think that a lot of today's cultural problems and issues and things that need to be solved are a result directly of God's people doing just that, of, you know, separating themselves off, not being involved in the culture around them, and so then they have zero influence. And I mean, I think that's kind of timely to talk about, since we're going to have a culture changers conference, and if you want to be a culture changer, you logically have to be involved in the culture, correct?
Yeah, and you know, you're referencing some teaching that maybe not everybody is completely familiar with, but in the Midwest, it seems like there has been a lot of teaching, and we can summarize all of these thoughts up with one phrase: left behind.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So, you know, we've had a lot of teaching about, you know, the end times, okay?
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
People really... just eat that stuff up because it's exciting and it's, you know, there's an allure to it, you know, the end times. And I don't really want to get into a theological debate about the end times.
Not here.
But if I was the enemy and I didn't want the power of God to invade the earth, I would come up with something that said, hide out, be safe.
Exactly.
Don't do anything. Yeah. Wait. And so we've had several generations of that.
Several generations. And I really think that, you know, I mean, like you said, we're not here to debate end time theology or other big theological words, but, you know, it just makes sense to me. And, you know, and by being a part of culture, I'm not saying embracing it and being in agreement with it. I'm saying love people and be an influence for good. Be an influence for Jesus. Be an influence for the power of God, for hope and for healing and for life.
Yeah.
Instead of just waiting for the world to burn or, you know, go to hell in a handbasket or something like that.
If you do your due diligence and study histories of, you know, influential Christian leaders, you know, these guys that came in as reformers, you know, you throw the word revival around, that's a predominant word in church history and Christian history, you're going to find that a lot of these guys that were big time reformers who actually, you know, we're talking about movements that birthed entire denominations, you know, you know, that were powerful in their day. And these guys believed in raising up leaders and sending them into every level of society, into every part of society, government, education, you know, everything. And, you know, you and I in the past 3 years have really had kind of an awakening, realizing that that the Lord wants to redeem everything.
Yeah.
It's not just our own life, like when we get saved or born again, whatever term you'd like to use in your circle. You know, we're not just getting saved for ourselves. And then, you know, the typical thing is, you know, you evangelize other people.
Yeah.
And then you leave out Hollywood. You leave out sports. You leave out all these
entertainment.
You leave out all these other areas of society that are quote unquote dirty or
worldly,
secular. And so what you've got there is a mindset that's really Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, there was a lot of laws about clean and unclean, right? So you had clean and unclean, don't touch this, stay out of the camp, yada, yada. But Jesus comes along. He starts touching everything.
Even the lepers.
Unclean. So this mentality that sometimes we adopt or struggle with, well, that's worldly or whatever, and we shut ourselves off from influencing that sector of society, when really Jesus is saying, no, I've put my kingdom and heaven is a part of everything you're doing now. So just take it. Take it and let it go forth.
Yeah, and I mean, we're not saying don't use wisdom and what you're around and things like that. But, you know, you have to be a part of your society to influence. And I was just thinking, like, I wonder how many of our issues in government, like the healthcare system, Social Security, the welfare system, how many of these things that need kind of an overhaul or a straightening out would have been different if there was probably somebody or several somebodies who were called to politics and had ideas from heaven, God-birthed solutions to problems, and they didn't want to get involved because Washington is a dirty place. It's a scary place. So they just hid out, and then they weren't, they didn't influence. So now we need those people who are called to really step up and to be brave, to be a Daniel, to go serve in the king's palace, to be, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to go stand in the fire and not smell like smoke, you know, to bring a God-birthed Holy Spirit solution.
Yeah. Some of you might have a conflict inside of you because you feel like you're called into government, or you feel like you're called into an entertainment level of society, or Hollywood or something like that. And you feel a conflict because, you know, something in your upbringing says, you know, that's worldly. Stay away from that. When in fact, we are the light of the world.
Yeah.
Hello.
Go for it. Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're called to advance the kingdom and destroy the powers of darkness by bringing down every stronghold that keeps people's minds from being awakened to who God really is.
Awesome.
You know, we carry that power. We carry that. And where we don't carry it, you know, the stronghold still remains.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
On this week's podcast, we have a conversation with Ray and Tiffany Vellis. Ray and Tiffany are worship leaders in the Southern Missouri area. If you enjoy this podcast, give us a review on iTunes and share it through your socials. Also, if you are a Periscoper, you can find our stream through the user at Heaven's Invasion. As always, thanks for listening and enjoy our conversation with Ray and Tiffany Vellis.
Fueling leaders of Heaven's Invasion.
Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in, rushing in. Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in. Come rushing in.
All right, Ray and Tiffany, thanks for sitting down and having a short little chat with us.
Thank you very much.
I thought it would be great just to kind of get to know you a little better and find out where you're from. Obviously, if you know, you listen to Ray talk, you know he's not from Southwest Missouri. So why don't you just give us a little short story on how you guys came to be here.
All right. I'm from Puerto Rico. I grew up in the north side of the island. My parents were missionaries to El Salvador for 6 years, and I lived there and got the opportunity to experience missions in a different country. And then we went back to Puerto Rico, and when it was time for me to go to college, that's when I decided to come to Southwest Missouri. Oh my goodness. Can I talk? And just to study, go to college, and learn English. That's why I have this accent. And I met my beautiful wife.
So. Hey, that made it all worth it right there, right?
Yeah. And I came here for school too. I'm from Iowa. My parents were pastors there. And the college that was affiliated with my parents' church was here. So it was really his idea, not going to lie. Why would I come to Joplin? But, you know, fell in love, and now I love the people and even the culture here. It's definitely home for me now. I love Joplin, so.
Wow. Well, we've been sitting here talking actually for like an hour, just connecting and just, you know, talking about all the really cool things that are happening in our area. Why don't you just share your heart a little bit? You know, you guys, you just talk and play off each other and just talk about the worship gatherings or the unity that's happening in Southwest Missouri, like any of that stuff. Well, why don't you just share your heart and, you know, tell us what you think.
Well, the reason I came to Joplin was to actually study music and in the ministry. So in that process, that's when I started having that passion for worship, for more than becoming somebody famous in the secular world, in the music industry, I wanted to actually write music for the church, you know, to not become actually be somebody in the world, but just to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, with the worship gatherings, it's something that's awakening actually that passion again to just for the music, for worship, for changing the world. So what would you say?
Yeah, I agree. I think music has been something that's really been like such a huge part of our lives. Reynaldo has been playing guitar for so many years. I don't even know anymore, like 15 years.
Yeah, the guitar is like fused to his body now.
Pretty much. Even me as a small child, I would write songs and just sing anything that came to my mind. And I don't know, I think that God puts that in your heart. And I feel like there's a lot of people in our area that have that same passion. They have music in their hearts, and God is really awakening such a great movement. I love the gatherings, just a time to come together and worship as a community. I was telling you guys earlier that that just doesn't happen everywhere. It's just, I don't know, it's such a great thing to come together as a community and worship. I'm sure it's very pleasing to the heart of God.
Well, something about the gatherings too is that it's the only times that I find myself so free to sing something different and to pour out my heart. Because it's a time where you just completely worship God, and I feel free to just say anything I want to God that is, you know.
That's true. I think too, like, I always hear like of a few revivals back in the day, and they're always like, oh, the glory days, and like, and Reynaldo and I, we weren't here for that, but also even if we were, we would have been pretty young. So like those glory days that you guys got to experience, we didn't really get to, but I feel like the new glory days, so mm-hmm. the former, the better, the latter will be greater than the former, are coming, because I have experienced at the worship gatherings, like moments where I literally lose myself in worship, and literally I've never had that happen.
Wow.
The first times in my life, it's pretty amazing to, cause you know, I think a lot. So to lose myself and just in worship is amazing. I've literally never felt that before. So.
Wow.
Anyways.
So what do you think is possible? Like, we've already had some powerful times this year with our worship gatherings. What do you think is possible? I mean, what do you think the Lord could do through this? I mean, just dream a little bit, dream out loud. Maybe you haven't thought of this. I don't know.
Well, what I see coming, it's just a great awakening that is going to unite churches. That's what I see in my dreams is that there's no denominations anymore, but friendship, fellowship, there's unity. That's what I see. And I see that, you know, we don't relate by what church you go to, but we are the body, you know, we are the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I see something that, where there was no song before, now there's a song rising in the place where there was nothing, no sound. Now there's a sound that's rising from that place.
Mm-hmm. Haley, you were talking about the importance of community and relationship, and Ray's kind of touched on that a little bit. Why don't you like share those thoughts again? Because they're so good.
Well, I just when you said that, it made me, like, the first thought that came to my head was that, like, we're having church right now. Like, this is church.
Well, describe what right now looks like.
Well, right now looks like a big kitchen table, an almost empty pan of brownies, and four people that have been talking about the things of God and hopefully encouraging each other to pursue God more. And really, you know, it is my opinion and belief that God never meant for there to ever be, you know, a city with however many hundreds of different little churches where everyone is in their little church and you don't even know what's happening at the church down the street. You don't know who's there. You don't know what kind of music they do. You don't know what they teach.
Yeah.
That's not a body.
Yeah.
That's like, I don't know what that is. So, I mean, community, and like, we are the church. We're having church. We are the body of Christ. And, you know, pursuing community, and I'm thinking about, you know, that Ray and Tiffany, you guys have, you know, multiple different churches on your team when you do the gatherings. And like Melissa Denson did that, you know, like six different churches were in her group. Yeah. And how powerful that has to be. Like, I think that's more powerful than we know. And there's our children in the background. It's totally awesome. It's awesome. We're having church with our kids.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
But I think that that's really powerful. I think that, that's a lot more spiritually powerful than we realize.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah. You know, God didn't mean to build a city with many lighthouses like we have here in this region. It's we have a church in every corner. and it's like a lighthouse in every corner, and we don't want it to be a lighthouse without a light. We want all those lighthouses to shine.
I really do feel like that's more powerful. Like when you were saying that, you know, having different churches like David Pearson and other people, like I had just what Missy Dunson said about shaming principalities.
Yeah.
Like that was so awesome. But that's what we're doing when we're pursuing community and unity. Like we are shaming division.
Oh, wow.
We are shaming wow. competition.
Yeah.
Wow.
We are shaming all of that in speaking life.
Because why would the devil want us to be like on the same team? He's trying to divide us, divide and conquer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Really yeah. And really, I mean, I just was listening to Chris Ballatin today say something about, you know, like you have this, like the devil's attacking me or the devil's like harassing me, when really we were put here to harass the devil.
Yeah.
We were put on this earth to make right what was wrong. So by doing this and pursuing unity and community and things like that, we are harassing those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I truly believe that out of this thing, this little worship movement that's happening, I mean, what a better place to happen than the Midwest, the heartland of the United States. I mean, if you did this in New York on the East Coast, or if you did it in California, people would be like, eh, that's cool. They always do cool stuff. Yeah, you know, yeah. They always do big stuff.
It's
but,
like this Nazareth right here.
Yeah. Wow, so
good came from
oh, wait, you guys are from where?
Can something good come out of that?
I think it's an even greater testimony to what's happening when you find out, hey, this is happening in rural America, which is typically divided. It's typically bitter. It's typically, you know, all the labels that people put on the Bible Belt, you know. I would just like to see that word struck from all memory, the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
Because it has a very loaded negative connotation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unmovable,
narrow-minded,
staunch, yeah, all that stuff. Those are words I would not use to describe Jesus. So,
I mean, usually only hear things about tornadoes from this place. But this time, I think we're going to hear about a huge storm of the Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
That's in this region.
That's awesome. Well, we see so much potential in you guys, and love how you're serving, and love the direction you're going, and just are big fans of you, and just want to say keep going.
Awesome. Thank you.
It's mutual. We're big fans of you guys. And I think it's really exciting about whatever's ahead. I think that this is, the latter rain is going to be greater than the former. And I think that great things are coming. You asked mm-hmm. earlier, what is our vision for what could happen? I think that literally I was thinking in my mind, why put boundaries on it? Who even knows? Mm-hmm. I think yeah. that you said earlier, can we take the Midwest? Why can't we take the world? I think that this could explode, and it's pretty exciting that yeah. we could be a part of that. And yeah. even the beginning of that, you know, to like, we talked about processes, to be part of the process, to be part of the beginning of that. What an honor.
Mm. Yeah.
It's really exciting.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. For more information about Next Gen Worship and to listen to other podcast episodes, visit nextgenworship.com.